Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
As I mentioned earlier, this evening starts the commemoration of Yom HaZikaron for the fallen Israeli soldiers and the victims of terror. And on the phone, we have the father of Eli Kay, Avi Kay. His son was 26 years old when he was shot in November 2021 by a Hamas gunman in Jerusalem's Old City. Avi, thank you so much for talking to us on this particularly poignant day. As we know, thousands of people attended your son's funeral, in which he was eulogized for his energetic will to contribute to Israel. And he had only recently immigrated to Israel from South Africa, and he was employed at the Western Wall as a tour guide. On a day like today, Yom HaZikaron, do you do anything special to remember him?
Hi, good morning. So first of all, just two corrections. Eddie was 25 years old the time that he was killed, and he wasn't killed by a Hamas gunman. He was killed by a Hamas terrorist. The difference is massive. Today and tonight, most poignantly, starts the commemoration. We'll be commemorating the day, which starts by Jewish custom at night at Tel Aviv, together with the rest of Eddie's military unit. Eddie was killed after he'd finished the army, 2 years after he'd finished the army and worked in agriculture for 2 years. He was then working as a tour guide at the Kotel, the Western Wall, and on his way there one Sunday morning, he was gunned down by a terrorist. And it's important to note that the terrorist was a teacher, who was employed by the city of Jerusalem. His wife is still receiving a pension from the city of Jerusalem. And from there opened the floodgates of terrorism, where many, many other young people and older people lost their lives after that terrible incident. So Paula, today is and tomorrow is very, very different for a lot of Israelis. When I came downstairs this morning, I saw my wife scrolling through social media, and she mentioned to me that a very good friend of ours, in fact, we spent Shabbat Saturday lunch with them at our home. Their son, who just came out of the army as an officer, was with us, very chilled, easygoing, shorts and a button-down shirt. You wouldn't think he had a worry in the world. And yet today she posts, "My son is absolutely traumatized, trying to remember those he fought with who are no longer with us." And this young man is not unique. We are surrounded by communities and a country that is suffering in the same way. If you just do the maths, on the 8th of October, 2023, our community, which is one of three on the same block, had 180 soldiers in combat action. Wow. If you work out that they were husbands, they were sons, they were wives, they were daughters, how many people did they see? How many comrades did they see fall? Another young family also made Aliyah from South Africa. Their youngest son had not even finished his training yet. He was sent up to the northern border right away, and his officer was shot dead right next to him. Can you imagine the fear of not knowing why this war started, how it started? You haven't finished your training, and the person you look to for guidance has got his brain splattered all over your uniform, and you're all alone. And yet these youngsters went on, and they were committed. So how do I feel? I feel the first word that comes to mind is fury, is deep rage and deep anger. I've spoken about for years, about understanding and moving on and going forward. But it's come to the point where it's just insane. We still have hostages in Gaza. The Gazan people have put themselves through untold horror by not releasing the terrorists. And let's be clear, the Gazan citizens were accomplices in capturing our citizens, selling them to Hamas, hiding them, keeping them. And who knows what the truth is that's coming out of there, but what we do know is that we can go and visit our son's grave tomorrow. We can go to Har HaMenuchot, in Jerusalem, together with all our friends and loved ones, and visit his graves. The Peretz family can go to Mount Herzl, their son is not lying there. I can't begin to even understand the pain that this family is going through with not having the comfort of their son's body back in Israel. So for me, at right now, I'm full of fury. I'm full of anger. I'm not full of hate, thank God. But I just feel that the insanity that is going around the world, the absolute audacious attitude of the South African government to take us to the International Criminal Council, Criminal Court for genocide, is just, it's beyond understanding when you sit here, you work here, and just yesterday, not just yesterday, sorry, last week, we lost a Druze soldier who lives in a town maybe 10 minutes from where our family vineyard is to commemorate our son. He's clearly not Jewish, but he gave his life for this country that his family and people of his belief system can have a better life going forward. So, Paula, I always come back, thank God, to the point of, you know, we've got to look forward, we've got to go on. But I think the time has come for us to raise our heads and scream and shout and say, it's enough. It's just absolutely enough that there can even be a slither of justification for what's going on in Gaza. It is absolutely beyond acceptable. That war needs to come to an end, and it'll only come to an end when two conditions are met. That's when our hostages are first and foremostly released, and second of all, when Hamas is no longer in power. I heard Abbas shout yesterday, he called Hamas sons of dogs, release the hostages. So I thought, oh, okay, finally, some sense is prevailing. And then the rest of the sentence will be read, and let the PA take over the control. Where have you been for the last 3 years? And that's really where we stand today. The nation will be calm. The nation will be quiet. We will commemorate. We will absorb our pain, no matter how bad it is. I will stand tonight with six other families who lost their sons fighting for the land of Israel. I will stand shoulder to shoulder with them. I will feel the pain together with my wife and my children and my grandchild. And we will send a very clear message. Our children didn't die in vain. And we as a family will send a further message that we have no time or energy for hate and for revenge. We only have time and energy for building and for going forward. But the condition is that the land of Israel is a gift from God to the Jewish people. Everybody is welcome to live here, but it's by our rules, and our rules are fair and just to all its citizens.
You know, Avi, you talk about the fury that you feel, and I've spent a lifetime working as a journalist, and the frustration you feel is frustration that we in the South African Jewish community also feel. And I mention being a journalist because I make my living talking and writing, and it's at times like this when you share your thoughts and your story that words actually fail one. You know, when you talk about how can the South African government take Israel to court, I wanted to go back to the fury you mentioned. And as you mentioned, the person who killed your son taught Islamic law at a boys' high school. I did see online that the Israeli army demolished the interior of his home and they sealed the entrance. Was he sentenced? Where is he now? Or is that of no interest to you and your family?
Okay, now that is a lot of interest, and thank you for bringing it up. I think it's important to put everything in context. So first of all, within 31 seconds of the terrorist shooting our son, wounding another person who is now in a wheelchair, and slightly wounding a third person, he was neutralized by a young soldier, a young security border policeman, who unfortunately from that incident is not of sound mind anymore. We've often wanted to visit him, and we've told that he's not well. So he paid the ultimate price for neutralizing that terrorist. And then from there was just a whole story that is maybe a discussion for another day. But the moment that happened, and we went to the hospital, identified Eddie, and came back, and there were journalists outside, and we were thrown into the spotlight. All we wanted to do was sort of live below the radar in Israel. And then the next day, as you said, the funeral, there were 17,000 people there. It was just the support was overwhelming. And once the week of mourning calmed down and sort of tried to get some normality in our lives, we were constantly badgered by organizations wanting us to advocate to destroy the house, wanting us to advocate for the pension of the wife to be suspended. And we sat down as a family and we made a unanimous decision. We only have a limited amount of energy, especially being new arrivals in the country, not knowing the system, not knowing the language well. We are not focusing on anything negative. And every time the request came up to destroy the house, our answer was the government and the army must do whatever protocol is. We're not getting involved. And then one evening I got a phone call from an organization, and this person basically said to me, tomorrow is the court case in the High Court. We haven't had an incident like this for a long time. If you are not there, you send a message to Jews all around the world that terrorists can get away with terrorism. They can get away with cold-blooded murder and there will be no consequence to it. And I made a decision that I would go. I went together with my lawyer, so I wasn't just walking in green. And I went with my young daughter, who had just finished her gap year in Israel and was deciding whether she was going to draft to the army or not. And as we walked into the High Court, we were confronted by this battery of journalists. And my young daughter, who was really innocent at that time, if I look back, you know, turned around and said, the reason we are here is to state very clearly that Israel is our country. And as Jews, we will walk free where, when, and whenever we want. And no one will terrorize us. And that's why we are there. And we went to court, and the proceedings were an absolute joke with a non-profit from Tel Aviv advocating for the terrorist. I didn't really understand it. I read a bit of the transcript afterwards. But ultimately, there were two Jewish judges and an Arab judge, and the decision was 2-1, 2 to destroy the house and 1 against, which I just found very unsettling, because if this is the law, uphold the law.
Avi, we need to leave it there, but I want to say that I was in Israel at the time. I remember the story. And as you say, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people that turned out to your son's funeral. And the stories that one reads about him were that he was such an inspiration. And as you yourself said, our children will not and have not died in vain. And for me, that's such a powerful message. And just to thank you, because it must be a very difficult thing to talk about, but on behalf of Chai FM and our listeners, may you be comforted today and all days, but especially as we commemorate our fallen soldiers and our fallen heroes on Yom HaZikaron.